News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And we start hour two, as we often do, El Paso History Moment. Produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance and for our audience. Why not?
Yeah,
and her
sure.
Her topic today is about the Chamizal Dispute.
The Chamizal Dispute. In 1852, 600 acres of El Paso land on the Rio Grande was at the heart of a boundary dispute between Mexico and the United States. The dispute was based on the 1889 of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo and the Treaty of 1884 that specified the boundary should be down the middle of the river, regardless of any alterations in the banks or channels. Finally, in 1963, the United States and Mexico ratified a treaty that followed a 1911 arbitration recommendation. The agreement awarded to Mexico 366 acres of the Chamizal area and 71 acres east of the adjacent Cordova Island.
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
And you do this for the Alliance.
Yes, I do. The Alliance is a great group of people, and they're our partners in El Paso and the region's history. And also, they've got over 60,000 followers now, and they have a lot of pictures and stories and information and preservation information. It's managed by Max Grossman and Mark Stone. And then the oldest Facebook page on El Paso history is Remember in El Paso When, with thousands of pictures, stories, and more. And it's managed by Barbara Given-Bainey, who leads this great team of editors for this page.
She's the chief bottle washer. We refer to her as BGB. Barbara Given-Bainey, and you have Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louis, Ken Weiss, and Craig Hayes, a bunch of people. They're all volunteers. And if you felt like doing that, she'd probably talk to you. You never can tell.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun, and it's great to see all these pictures and doing research.
Well, they take it as a job. They're monitoring it all the time, and they don't let members in unless you can pass a test, which I think is great.
Well, it kind of prevents a lot of the people just trying to troll.
Yeah, just out there doing nothing else. But they want you to be able to answer some questions about El Paso, including, are you there? What do you got?
Oh, I wanted to point out real quick. We were talking about the coloring book last hour. I wanted to point out that we've got a picture of the book online as well as the link to the digital coloring book so you can check it out online and also call them to or get one if you'd like.
And you can actually sit there and draw on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your problem.
Or if you do this, print it and do it, color it at home.
Oh, you want to print it out.
That's right.
I thought you would draw right on the computer.
Following lines better.
Let's don't do that. Okay, you mentioned the Chamizal. We've got the people from the Sonics and Collection. Another phone call coming in. We got the people from the Sonics and Collection coming in. And you'd be Abby Weiser and Claudia Rivers. You got Chamizal material?
We certainly do. We have, of course, the published reports from both the American side and the Mexican side about the Chamizal dispute. And we've got the papers of Joe Friedkin, who is a longtime director of the IBWC, the International Boundary and Water Commission. And also we've had papers of Jonathan Cunningham, who was the director of the El Paso Department of Planning, the City Department of Planning. And he was the director for a long time, including the time when they were making the adjustments to the Rio Grande, the channelization and the all of the property disputes that occurred during that time.
I always have to mention this. I knew Joe Friedkin as the guy who lived across the street. And you know who the other neighbor across the street was? Wilts Harrison.
Oh, really?
He was a metal guy at UTEP for the longest time. So, I mean, we had some interesting people in that neighborhood.
Sure.
All right, to the point at hand here, we have a caller coming up here. Let's see what old Raul wants. Hey, Raul, what's going on with you?
Hey, Jackson and Melissa, a great show like always. Really appreciate what you guys do for our community and what you bring to us. To your complaint about El Paso's history not being taught to El Paso students in school, I know you guys know the reason for that is that what's taught in classrooms to students by teachers is highly regulated by politicians, state boards of education, and a few huge textbook publishers that cater to the two largest states with the most students, and that's Texas and California, which politically are on opposite sides of the coin.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, Ralph, how do we get around this?
To teach local history is probably true of every town and city throughout the country. It would take a lot more work on the part of local school districts and teachers to develop materials and lesson plans to teach students about the history of their communities, and they probably have to get that approved by administrators and people up the line. So as you have noticed, by the way, again, this whole discussion of history, is there's a big hullabaloo going on right now on the right over critical race theory, which also...
We're not going there, Raul.
That's not history yet.
We're not taking on those topics, dude. If you want to talk about the history of El Paso and how better to promote it, fine. But I'm not taking on anybody's right or left wing and anything else.
Of course, we do cater to students who come in who are working for projects for History Day, and there is a local History Day where that emphasizes local history for middle school students, I believe.
Let me give Raul one last shot. Okay, Raul, one last thought. Go ahead. You gone?
I just haven't been able to find any textbooks or lesson plans that teach CRT, but thank you so much.
Okay, fair enough, dude. But we appreciate your call, as always. And the thing is, though, you notice how quickly we don't do current topics. That turns into the Talk El Paso show. We're not doing that show here. We've been doing this for decades, and we're going to keep doing it until we get it right. But, no, the thing about teaching history, Melissa brings up the idea, you were taught California history in the schools.
Yeah, we were taught quite a bit. Missions. We had the missions on the coast. We learned about the Native Americans. We learned about the pioneers. I mean, we got it all.
But, see, we don't get anything. And if I may say so, I know we had earlier history than California.
Yeah.
Whether or not we had better history is a subjective thought.
It's subjective to where you are and how you feel about it.
We had Don Juan de Oñate.
That's right.
When I was in grade school in New Mexico, we learned about those Indian boarding schools where children were taken away from their families and sent to boarding schools.
Phoenix.
And now that's in the news now, and I learned about it in fourth grade in Albuquerque Public Schools.
You see how divergent we are in our education around this whole area. If we could just get some local history taught. I mean, you know, I bet you parents would take their kids voluntarily to a history class after school if it was available.
Yeah, I think it should be. They used to have history clubs in schools and things, which
clubs.
Is a shame. And the thing is, I think it also builds pride in your community and in your children, and it makes you want to or better like your community. If they understand how important, especially El Paso, they've got some incredible stuff.
And so much stuff has gone on here.
Nowhere else in the U.S. did it happen or started here. And so take some pride in what El Paso has done. We're not just way out in the far west.
Well, this has been a crossroads for centuries, and the history of human beings has been going on here right with it.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't happen a whole lot of other places. A lot of other places are crossroads because they put a railroad in, and that became that. Like Deming, New Mexico. I keep saying that. I like Deming. I don't hate Deming. But their example is they don't have a river, and they got one thing that happened to them big time, and that was a railroad. And so, you know, it's a different look. This is a big deal. Okay, we got to shift gears here, Claudia, as you had mentioned during the top of the news. We have got to talk about how to preserve documents, how to preserve pictures. You got all newspaper articles that are going to, you know, turn into dust if you don't do them right. Who wants to start this? Because you all are pretty good at this.
Well, one thing I want to say right off the bat is we do preservation of materials at our library. We try to preserve them so that they last longer and are available longer. We do not do item treatment, which is called conservation. And so, but we're willing to give people advice about where to go to get documents if that are damaged, maybe repaired or whatever. But we don't do item treatment. We do preservation, and we promote the environmental factors that make things last longer, for instance. Because you look at materials, and they have, this is what a little phrase I learned in library school, they have within them the seeds of their own destruction.
Oh, God, yes, yes.
You know, you mentioned newspapers that crumble away. It's because the newspaper is made with wood pulp. The newsprint is made with wood pulp, and wood pulp, it has the fibers called lignin, and they're what make trees and boards strong, that fiber, but it's very unstable. Once it's no longer in a living tree and gets ground up, it becomes very acidic with contact with moisture and light, and it's accelerated if there's heat involved. And so that's what makes the newspapers get really brittle. Newspaper clippings get brittle and yellow and everything.
So you take a picture now.
Yeah, well, you can. We are doing that, but digital preservation is something I'm not ready to go into. It's a lot more complicated than a lot of people think. So what we do is we try to keep things, and this is what I would recommend for people too, is to try to keep your materials in a cool, dry environment and away from light. Like if you want to display some historical document from your family, make sure that you have a UV filtering glass or plexiglass over it.
Okay.
And try to keep it so there's a little airspace between the surface of the glass or plexiglass and the actual item, so it doesn't, for instance, if it gets moist, it won't stick to the glass.
And get your photographs out of the sticky photograph albums.
Oh yeah,
like the magnetic.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yes.
When you put things in plastic, make sure it's non-reactive plastic, which is usually polyester plastic and not vinyl. Vinyl is just the worst.
Oh,
and
yeah.
those so-called magnetic albums are really bad. They have all these adhesives.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
Adhesives they're supposed to hold the photos in place, but they also, I've seen them where photos look like, color photos look like they're zebra because they have stripes where the chemicals in the adhesive bleed through and change the colors.
Unfortunately now, like Hobby Lobby and some of the other places actually have more, not a lot, but they have some, and it will identify on there if it's what's the term?
Archival or acid-free.
Acid-free, yeah.
And that's true. And I did also send a couple of links to some companies. I don't know whether y'all are able to do that or not.
I'll post those.
But the companies that we get preservation supplies from. And also Gaylord Archival has little booklets online that tell you about preserving paper and preserving Gaylord Archival.
Okay.
They have that's a branch of a large library supply company.
Okay.
But they used to publish little pamphlets, you know, like on preservation, but now they're just online. But they have one on photographs and one on paper, and then a general bibliography if you want more readings. I sent links to some companies that do conservation, you know, and also can give you advice on preserving older documents or photographs. Reputable companies that like the Northeast Document Conservation Center. And we're happy to give people advice and refer people to companies that can repair damaged materials.
I called you up this week, or I emailed you, and talked about I need somebody who can do a specific preservation job, and you gave me a specialist.
Yeah.
And so they're out there. You call the library and talk to one of these fine people. They'll know how to direct you. So what's the most interesting photograph you have in your collection?
Gee.
Oh, gosh. We have hundreds of thousands.
Give me the top five.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
The top five.
I'll tell you one in the Casasola collection. You know, the El Paso Times publishes one a week. We have a really cool one of a guy, like a bodybuilder from maybe the 1930s, and he's covered with tattoos. He has a giant butterfly tattoo on his chest.
Oh, my.
And he's holding a can of supposedly spinach, only it has...
Like
it
Popeye.
But it has XX and... like it's poison.
Oh.
I don't know, but it's a hilarious photo.
Okay, run down the Casas. What is the Casasola project? I think I know, but you guys know.
Well, can I just talk about my favorite photo?
Oh, sure,
quick?
Please.
Okay, I finally thought of one. It's from our Manuel Carrillo photograph collection, and he was a Mexican photographer. But it's a photo of a dog chasing seagulls on the beach, and he just looks so happy. And I love that photo. It's just such a beautiful shot.
Wouldn't he be surprised if he caught one? Oh, but anyway.
I don't think that happened.
No, the chase, it's all about the chase.
When we did our annual special collections calendar a few years ago, I wanted to do an animal theme, animals in the archives. So I had to make sure I used that photo. And then also the one of the nurses reading with the Dalmatian. I also love that photo as well. I believe that's from our sister Aloysius Williams papers. But anyway, it's hard to choose, but I those photos always make me smile. But okay, back to the Casa Sola project.
We need to take a break.
Oh, okay.
Remind me that I don't go past it when we come after the break. The Casa Sola pictures has a bizarre original story, doesn't it? Oh, good. It is that story. Okay. Taking a break here. Call us if you need to, and or Facebook. What do you got?
Facebook.
What do you got?
I do want to. Margie Benton. She texted or Facebooked us that she taught Texas history last year and created her own resources and taught El Paso County history.
We stand up for you, Margie. Hey, you're one of a million, and all millions should do that. Well, maybe Margie, if you want to call us and explain that, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, how
because,
she did it.
Because frankly, the teachers have to steal the time to make this occur in Texas. Well, she had it in courses in California for a whole year. I mean, I understand Raul in Northeast doesn't think it can be done with legislatures. They did it in California. And Texas should be the same. He's right about the bookstores, though.
Well, you need to go to your school board meetings and such and talk to them. And they're the ones that can get things changed at the state level. But you have to pressure them to do it and make them do their job.
All right, throw the number out there just in case.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Many retired El Paso area homeowners don't know where to begin when it comes to downsizing and selling their home. Patrick Tuttle and his Legacy Home team follow a proven process to help retired homeowners sell faster and for more money. Call Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850 today and get your home sold faster and for more money. That's Patrick Tuttle at 915-588-1850. Call him today.
Want to win some cash for the summer?
No way.
Spend it on yourself.
Do something fun with it.
Maybe treat myself.
Spend it on the family.
Take a vacation.
Well, vacation.
You've got up to 12 chances to win $1,000 every weekday with a grand in your hand.
A grand in your hand. Brought to you by Divine Dental, specializing in adult and kids dentistry. Located on the east side and west side with free teeth whitening for all new patients.
Recently, the Food and Drug Administration extended the emergency use authorization for Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccination to include 12 to 15-year-olds. We sat down with Dr. Peter Marks, director of the Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research at the FDA, to learn more about vaccine safety and emergency use.
The important thing to understand is that emergency use authorization was put in place to allow us in public health emergencies to make products that might be helpful available when they otherwise were not. We said up front that we were going to hold these vaccines to a standard that was very close to our approval standard in terms of the ability to show efficacy, and we've done that. So we feel that there's clear and compelling efficacy and safety data that these vaccines work and that they're safe.
That was Dr. Peter Marks of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. iHeartRadio will continue to keep you informed with the latest coronavirus news. For continuous updates and to find a COVID-19 vaccine near you, check out vaccines.gov.
In season 2 of the hit podcast Paper Ghosts, investigative journalist M. William Phelps searches for the truth behind the tragedy of July 4th weekend, 1981. A massive fire engulfs a farmhouse in America's heartland. Four members of a wealthy Ohio family are dead. But was it the fire that killed them?
My brother says, Carol, something's up. They're not telling us everything. That is not a fire.
there is too much blood.
Listen to Season 2 of Paper Ghosts on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Guess who's coming in here next week? Mr. Cito Negron, and he's going to talk about the history of Interstate 10 through El Paso, including how TxDOT has a plan to put a park at downtown street level over I-10 as it nears Sunset Heights going west. I think he has an opinion or two about that. We'll see, but if we want to see what the history is, how do we get here? August the 7th, we got to focus on Socorro, Texas, the Socorro Mission, and an historic farm called Bodega Loya. And it has a new farmer's market. It has over 100 years of farming at that location. Also going to hear about the history of the Socorro Mission. What do you got? You got something good.
Well, the world's largest classic film festival is almost here in El Paso, and it's going to be held at the 1930 Movie Palace Plaza Theater. And they've been having this since 2008. And this year's dates are July 29th through August 8th. Jay Duncan and the Sunset Film Society thanks Mary Jo Melby for her sponsorship of two films at the 14th Annual Plaza Classic Film Festival. Being a third-generation El Pasoan, Ms. Melby is a lifelong patron of the arts and a historian of the El Paso Southwest. Additionally, her grandfather, H.T. Ponsford, was the general contractor of many buildings here in El Paso, but specifically one is the Plaza Theater, and that was in 1929. The two films that are coming up on the beginning on July 30th and one on August 5th, those are the ones she's sponsoring. Meet Me in St. Louis, 1944. Let's see, that's going to be a Friday, July 30th. Gentlemen's Prefer Blondes, 1953, Thursday, August 5th at 1 p.m. And Jay Duncan will host these films at the Plaza Theater Film Festival. Pink Panther, Film Talk, Wednesday, August 4th at 6 p.m. Pinocchio, 1940, Film Talk, Saturday, August 7th at 6 p.m. Tickets are out now on sale, and go to plazaclassics.com where you can order your tickets now.
He's doing the 1940 film. Mm-hmm. That's the original. Oh, that's fabulous. All right.
Best one.
Abby Weiser's here along with Claudia Rivers. Casa Sola, what is that?
Well, Casa Sola is the name of a famous Mexican family of photographers, and one of those family members had a photo studio here in El Paso, and so it was particularly prestigious for members of the Hispanic community to go get their pictures taken there, because the Agustin and Gustavo Casasola in Mexico City were very famous photographers. But Alfonso Casasola here also took beautiful photographs, and it's turns out that the studio that was down on El Paso Street right next to the Colon Theater was being remodeled, and some of the workers found boxes of negatives stored in like in a closet or some out-of-the-way place, and when they were gutting the building, and they took them across the street to a pawn shop, Dave's pawn shop, and said, "Are these worth anything?" And guess who was behind the counter that day?
Who?
Ho Baron.
The artist.
An artist, and trained as a librarian.
And working in a pawn shop.
Family pawn shop.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
But he did buy the boxes of photographs from them, and we estimate there were like 50,000 negatives in those boxes, as well as some prints. Many of the prints were the ones that were displayed for years in the front windows of the Casasola studio, and so they were not in the best shape. But anyway, so Ho Baron got them, and he thought he could do some artistic project with the prints. And then eventually he realized this is too much, and he called the UTEP Library Special Collections, and we were able to acquire them from Ho and started first sorting them, and then it was our first digital project.
Okay.
And it was partly because they were thinking about doing an immigration museum, immigration history museum at UTEP, and they wanted content for their museum. And so these were, a lot of these people are immigrants, and the photos have been used over the years for a number of displays relating to immigration. And so, but we have an ongoing project that's been going on for years and years with the El Paso Times.
Right.
When we first got them, we did outreach to the community. We set up exhibits in the malls and at the community college events and things for people to identify pictures. But we, a lot of the pictures have been identified through this partnership with the El Paso Times. And Abby manages that now.
Ah.
Yes. Fantastic. So every week, the El Paso Times publishes one of our unidentified images from the Casa Solo newspaper. Do you know this person?
Oh, yeah.
And we've sent in, I think, over 1,370 images that have been published. This project with El Paso Times started in 2002. And we've had, I think, almost 500 images identified by community members, sometimes actually even out of town. People will see them online on Facebook, or someone here in El Paso will get in touch with somebody. And it's just been wonderful. And in addition to learning people's names, we also try to collect biographical information about who these people were, what their stories were. And this makes the collection more usable. It increases the research value. And we've learned some great stories about local history.
Great stuff.
Yeah, we had Marshall Carter chimed in on Facebook. And she used to be with the UTEP Centennial Museum. And they did an exhibit in 2010. And the same thing, they took a lot of those pictures and they played off of the cultural nature of El Paso, illustrating, for example, the Chinese, Lebanese, Syrians, Korean members of El Paso community. And it, then I guess it became, and you may have mentioned this already, Humanities of Texas exhibit.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, the Casa Sola, right?
Thank you, Marshall, for doing that and telling us about it.
That's great.
Got to take another break here on the El Paso History Radio Show. Come back and talk. Where do you want to go next? Should we promo something? Something that we talked about that I can't remember? You want to go? There's so many topics here. We'll pick one during the break.
We can talk a little bit more about preservation if you want.
Oh, yes. Oh, we haven't talked about how not to write on your pictures.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge one here. All right, we'll take a break and cut. Anything else from Facebook? That was pretty good.
No, that's pretty quiet. But, yeah, no, I went back to listening from San Carlos, California is Jim Stevens. Hello.
Oh, cool. Hi, Jim.
Okay. So
talk to you again. We'll talk to you after the break, Jim. In the meantime, Andrew, you ready for a break in there? Why don't you hit that button?
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell property. See the new website, m1ep.com, m1ep.com. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca, 915-592-4549, 592-4549. If you're a local business owner, you know how important it is to be here for your customers. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson runs a small business in El Paso, too. And Ralph Dickerson's here to help you protect your small business. Give him a call, 915-581-0000. Or come by his office, located at 497 North Wrestler, Suite A, right at the corner of Wrestler and Orizaba. Stop in today. Call 581-0000 for State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson.
If the pandemic's taught us anything, it's that the easiest way for germs to get into your body is the nose. We all know how to wash our hands, but how do you clean your nose? For over 2 million Americans, the answer is Navage Nasal Care. Navage uses powered suction to flush out allergens, mucus, and germs that cause congestion, colds, and flu, so you can breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and feel healthier. Better yet, Navage is all natural and drug-free. That's why one of America's top respiratory hospitals recommends nasal irrigation to stay healthy, explaining that bacteria and viruses thrive in warm and moist environments and that you can wash away those germs so they don't make your nose their home. Experience Navage at zero risk. Go to Navage.com, buy Navage, and use it for a month. If you're not delighted, return it for a full refund. There's nothing to lose and a lifetime of better breathing to gain. Also available at Target, Walgreens, CVS, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
Is your bathroom looking old and worn out? Want to update it, but you don't know where to start? Then let VCI Bath & Shower show you how to turn that old bath into an aisle of beauty and functionality. Our residential bathroom solutions provide the best value on the market, and our customer service is second to none. Our cost-effective VCI Bath & Shower family of products has what you need.
Remodeling our bathroom was a big decision for us.
They didn't make a mess out of our house at all. And at the end of the day, we had a beautiful new bathroom. And it was a great experience the whole way through.
We have the best monthly payment programs in the industry, with payments as low as $68 per month or no interest, no payments for 18 months. That's right. Get the bathroom of your dreams now and pay for it in 2021. Call 1-800-716-9085 for a free, no-obligation price quote. That's 1-800-716-9085. When you want quality bathroom products at a great price, it's got to be BCI Bath & Shower. That's 1-800-716-9085.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready this week only in El Paso, Inc., the latest in El Paso, Inc. business news?
Why El Paso's Housing Authority has changed its name amidst a billion-dollar transformation of the region's public housing.
Also in the Inc., watch out for these health plans. Despite an ongoing FBI investigation, there's an El Paso company still advertising them.
Why a planned $50 million development on I-10 might be on the rocks.
El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso, Inc., is available for home or business delivery.
To receive El Paso, Inc., order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night at 10:35 p.m., host Saul Sines talks with newsmakers about stories in the borderland. This week, tomorrow night, he's going to talk about sandbags. You need sandbags? There's a way to get them, and there's a way not to get them. El Paso Water Utilities will comment.
That's Sunday on ABC 7 Extra at 10:35 p.m. after ABC 7 at 10.
Saul Sine wants to sandbag you.
I know. Everybody's got a sandbag.
There's a good way to do it, and he knows how, so get a hold of him.
Sandbagging my whole life.
That could have been the whole promo right there. All right, we're talking special collections. The people in charge are here, the head and the assistant head. I love how you put that title. But that's librarians think that way. Claudia Rivers, Abby Weiser, you think head librarian. It's always been like that, hasn't it?
As I say, we have the sculpture of the head of the head librarian, your Uncle Baxter.
That's true.
Yeah, there
he's
go.
In there. I got to go. And that's a black one, isn't it? It's a pure, isn't that the dark one?
It's painted to look like it's bronze or something.
Oh, I see.
Yeah
Baxter.
But it's clay.
Okay, so if I have too much money, can I rename that library? The Baxter?
Yes. If you have enough money, I bet they'll let you rename it.
And it will be a Baxter Polk Library. Okay,
that sounds good.
I know it is. Now, where were we going? We're doing preservation of documents this hour, kind of. We sort of have a loose format here. But the idea is to save your pictures. We talked about how you don't put them in those magnetic things with glue on the back of them or whatever. How do you write on the back of them or front of them if you had to? What's the deal?
Well, we use a pencil. To write on documents, usually a soft lead pencil. But if you're going to write on the back of photographs, try not to write in the image area. Yeah. Don't write right across the face, the back of the photo where the faces are, because the pressure of the pencil can damage the surface of the photograph. So write on the edge or write on a part of the photograph that's not that important. And also, there are special pens, because a lot of the newer photographs you can't write on with pencil, and you can't even write on with pen. It just comes off. And so there are special pens that are sold by these preservation supply companies that allow you to write on the back of the newer photographs. And as I say, the same thing applies. Try not to write right across the middle of the photograph, right along the edge, where if it does affect the photo, it won't affect the most important part of the photo.
And might I suggest you do that before you forget who's in the picture?
That's a good idea.
Oh, my goodness. My dear mother used to write on everything, so we pretty much know which relative this is when he was a little kid in the picture. But other than that, it's hard to do.
Well, and we put most of our photos that are, especially the heavily used photos, we put them in the non-reactive plastic, the Mylar. We used to call it Mylar. I think they've changed their brand name. But it's a polyester type of plastic that doesn't react with the photos. We put them in those kind of things. We usually put them in sleeves. We don't, like, encapsulate them. We don't seal them in there, because this is something, a phrase I learned in a photo preservation class, they can cook in their own juices.
Oh.
if they can't breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
And so and if you've got a photo that you don't have the right kind of pencil or pen to write on, you can put a little piece of acid-free paper with the information inside with the sleeve with the photo.
Yeah. Today there are so many pictures that are caught in the digital world. They're in your cameras, they're in your phones, your computers and such. When you print those on your printer, there's not necessarily a long life on those. Is there any ideas on how to preserve those other than trying to use archival printing paper and printing inks?
Well, that's the best thing, to try to use there are inkjet printers that do use better paper and better inks. Yeah. And that's a good. And as I say, try to keep them away from light, especially ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
So don't put things, don't display things in a sunny place. You might consider doing multiple copies, printouts of important pictures.
Oh, it's digital,
But print them out. You know, I went to a presentation by an archivist who was talking about preserving email. And I said, so what do you do? She says, oh, if it's important, I print it out. And I mean, this is an archivist who was talking about preserving electronic resources, and that's something you can still think about. Print it out if it's important to you, and maybe print. There's a university consortium that say to preserve digital resources, and it's called LOCS, and that stands for Lots of Copies Keep Stuff Safe. And so I love that acronym. And so I use this, Lots of Copies Keep Stuff Safe.
And maybe give
a copy to another family member for them to keep.
Because that's one thing people don't think about, is the fact that digital does itself have its own glitches, its own problems, and eventually fades out in some cases. And we've lost a lot of information.
Oh, a lot of the early years of the internet are just gone.
Yeah.
So
you have a lot of people that would say, hey, I want a copy of your album. Okay, here's the thumb drive.
Yeah.
And it's probably better kept, obviously. It's not on paper.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we ran into some baby books the other day of unnamed people. But so I guess we better just digitize the photos, because that's it. That's the picture. There's no negative I can find.
Well, you can have them reproduced, too, because even if you save them digital on a thumb drive, thumb drives will fail. And so this is, again, like you're saying, it's printing it out, getting them done, printed correctly in archival type material, so he can have a copy or pass it on, whatever.
Interesting potential there.
Also, negatives, we were talking about cooking in their own juices. Negatives, lots of times, we keep them in acid-free paper envelopes so that they can breathe. And that was one of the problems with some of those negatives from Casa Sola. Some of them were on nitrate based film base, which is highly flammable and also deteriorated. Some of them were sticky. Some of them were crumbling.
Yeah.
And then when they went to safety film, which is acetate based, that had the early safety film had its own problems, where the base of the film and the image layer would start to separate.
Oh,
so if you open a file of microfilm, sometimes it'll smell like vinegar. That's the acetate breaking down.
We call it vinegar syndrome, and that's actually one of the clearest signs that your film or negatives have already deteriorated.
Oh, okay. Well, some of that, if you have a big reel of film, it could be explosive.
That's why we were talking about the film festival. We had a nitrate-based film in our collection that was from the Padilla film. It was called La Venganza de Pancho Villa, and it was really deteriorating. Just handling it burned your hands
because
of the stuff. Yeah. And so we sent it to the Library of Congress.
Let them do it.
And they preserved it.
Well,
it was shown at the Classic Film Festival a few years ago.
Some places you see, they'll show on some of the shows, History Channel and such, they show the archives that are underground in the salt mines. The salt mines is where a lot of the films for Hollywood are kept. Because it doesn't have it's non-contaminative down there or something as they put the word.
They have the Humanities Research Center in Austin, part of the UT Austin. They were keeping their nitrate films in an old missile silo. Whoa. In the Hill Country.
Yeah. Well,
good place for it.
Just in case it blows up, huh?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. There's a lot of history needs to be preserved. Is there any one best way? I mean, you're telling me digital is not even the best way.
No, well, technology becomes so obsolete now. Yeah. I mean, we have old floppy disks in collections. Yeah. I mean, most of the modern computers now don't even have CD or DVD drives.
Right.
So these are all things to consider. Like Claudia mentioned, though, I say when in doubt, print it out. Because, you know, paper still is more reliable than digital electronic records. And we say, you know, we digitize for access, not so much for preservation, because digital preservation is so tricky, and it requires a good deal of support, technology updates, commitment to reformatting, to really keep on top of everything. Materials on Archive-It. We have a subscription to Archive-It, so we have been doing web archiving recently.
Okay.
They're affiliated with the Internet Archive.
Yes.
Internet Archive out there in the Bay Area.
It's called Archive-It?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They're a service.
You mentioned digital reformatting. You mean when some old obsolete thing that it's recorded on is about to become gone, you have to copy it all to the new thing that has arrived.
Correct. Yeah. And by old, I mean things maybe even from the early 2000s.
Yes, you know, 15 things, years ago is old.
You know, or VHS tapes, for example.
Oh, exactly.
Or beta.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have U-matic tapes.
U-matic, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have a player?
No. We don't have a functioning player right now, but there are companies that do have them in reformat.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of people that charge you a whole lot to do that.
But we look at, for us, in our preservation activities, we like make sure that the enclosures are good and, you know, acid-free boxes and folders and the right kind of plastic. And there's a story from the National Archives that boxes can protect materials from water, too, because there was a fire in that National Archives in St. Louis, and they had decided, as it was when the National Archives was new, they decided that they were going to just buy the boxes and not the lids. It would be easier to get into the materials.
Excuse
if they
me.
Were just in boxes. And so they bought archives, and they didn't buy the lids. And so then there was a fire.
The sprinklers
and
went off.
And the fire department with their big hoses, water going in, and the boxes filled with water.
Oh, yeah.
And so now they're conservationists trying to get all of those old military records, tease them apart. The outsides are scorched and the insides are a block, solid block glued together by the water.
Make an archivist cry.
Yeah, well, say la vie.
Yeah, la vie. Okay, taking a long la vie break here. Coming back in a minute, we'll talk. We're going to wrap this up and tell you how you can get involved and get your history looked at you can refer people. Because you guys don't do the preservation, but you know people who do the preservation.
And we can share basic information.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, we'll take a break here. Come back in just a moment.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ralph Dickerson is ready to help you combine home and auto and save here in El Paso. Call 915-581-0000 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Right now, there are young people across the world facing a tough choice. Continue their dream of education or drop out to help their family put food on the table. You can help change their future in a single moment. See how far your support can go at unbound.org.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360.
Visit iHeartAdBuilder.com to get your business on the radio quickly and easily. You can even make your own radio ad. Just answer a few questions and we'll do the rest. Sign up today at iHeartAdBuilder.com.
Newt Gingrich here, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Newt's World. Most people know me as the former Speaker of the House, but I'm also a historian with a wide range of interests. I enjoy talking with experts in their field and the most interesting people across a variety of subjects. I release 4 episodes of Newt's World every week, with an effort to excite the imagination of our audience, and hopefully you'll learn something new each time you listen. Listen and subscribe for free to Newt's World on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Want to let you know about coming up on July 31st, 9 to 11. The Trost Society is going to host an architectural walking tour of the Segundo Barrio, and that's Saturday next week. Dr. Max Grossman himself, the architectural historian, will be leading the parade there. They're going to meet inside the Sacred Heart Church at 9 a.m. It was established in 1885, and the Segundo Barrio is a fascinating neighborhood. I think the neighborhood was established in 1885, not the church. We'll find out. Ask Max. But the tour will begin in front of the Sacred Heart Church, 602 South Oregon Street. An exclusive visit to the building, which is about to be restored, partially because of Max. He got out and got excited about that. As he's going to continue with a historical walking tour around the neighborhood. Approximately 1 mile, 90 minutes. Get comfortable shoes. Wear a hat. Bring water. Bring tequila. No, don't do that. We're not going to make it through the tour if you do that. Highly recommended that you bring a mask. All proceeds that you donate will support the restoration of Sacred Heart. They're asking for $20. And to get a hold of them, look up at the Trost Society online.
Yeah. Okay. You can watch a monthly episode of the KTSM TV Channel 9's Borderland Treasures as they focus on the architecture and history of the Popular Dry Goods Company building at the northeast corner of San Antonio and Mesa Streets. It was designed by the iconic firm Trost & Trost and built in 1916 and 1917. There'll be original and historical photography and interviews. And I did put a link up for that on our Facebook page.
Excellent.
And Borderland Treasures is a collaboration between the Preservation Texas of Austin and KTSM 9 News, and is funded by the El Paso County. Go to KTSM.com. And also, I'm going to be doing one next month.
A tour.
Yeah, on the Women's Club. They're going to be doing it on different architects again, so I'm going to be doing one for the Women's Club.
Oh, that'll be put the mic.
Thurman, thank you.
Mike's.
Whose records we have at UTEP, and this last episode on Trost and the Popular, they used a lot of photos from our collections because we have the records of the Popular dry goods.
Did Max come pull the pictures?
No. No,
I'm going to be seeing him.
He sent some people.
Yeah.
Also, I had a question for you. Jim Stevens is asking, where are court records, municipal, county, et cetera, archived? Any ideas?
We are a Texas Regional Historical Resources Depository, and so we have a lot of county records.
Oh, okay.
And there is a general guide to what we have online in our finding aids. And so if you go to the library's homepage and click on the tab for special collections, you go to with finding aids, or what we call our guides, and you can find El Paso County records, the guide to what we have of county records.
Yeah.
We also have 8th District Court of Appeals records.
Oh, wow.
So start over with the website, because we need to let people know how to find you. First of all, you're on the campus of the University of Texas at El Paso.
Yes.
You're the library, so if you ask for the library, you'll find a building. But at that point, you're on the 6th floor. The major part of the other library is below that, and so that's a huge bunch of books and stuff. But what you do is special collections of Sonicson up on the 6th floor, and we had some pictures of that we could just throw by there on just generally what you look like. Because that's a very professional place, as you say, with a red carpet. You roll out the
that's
red carpet,
right,
for
yeah.
researchers.
Yes, that's true.
So how do the average Joe find you?
Well, probably the best thing to do is to either call either our main desk or Claudia or me, or email us to let us know you're coming. We also we are open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. So also, if you just want to come on up, that's okay too. We just ask that you contact us beforehand. Just so we can help assist you better. For example, if you let us know your topic, we can suggest collections.
Right.
If you know a specific collection or book you would like to look at, we can pull it and have it ready for you. So it just helps us assist you. But we're also happy to take walk-ins as well.
I have a request. Next week, we're doing the history of I-10. Do you have any real cool I-10 construction pictures?
I think we have some things in the Herald Post records. Maybe.
I'll contact you Monday or Tuesday and see what we can do about that.
Yeah, we have what's called a newspaper morgue from the El Paso Herald Post that has some great materials.
Great. And can you assist me getting a hold of those? Or, I mean, I wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah. We also have a large city planning collection. You were discussing the Chami Sal earlier. There's photos of the Chami Sal in there, reports as well. So, we have a lot of materials. And I just want to emphasize that we're open currently now. We're open again to everybody. Archives are for everybody. So we get mostly students, but we also get a lot of community members as well as out-of-town researchers.
The serious researchers know how to find you. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming. Abby Weiser and Claudia Rivers, thank you for being the people that you are at the library. And now on the radio, thank you for sharing.
Yes. Well, thank you for inviting us.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. This has been
interesting
as all get out.
And Melissa, we're going to go to Pepe's.
Yes, Pepe's.
And eat Mexican food. I can't get enough of that stuff.
New Mexican food.
It's a good
food.
Thing to do that. And Andrew J. Polk in the control room, thank you for being there and doing your show Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m., Talk El Paso. He takes them all on, and somehow he survives. That's good. All right, see you next week on the El Paso History Radio Show. And you coming back, you'll be here.
Hasta
semana. You're not going anywhere for a while.
No, I'm staying home for a while. I
ladies,
work.
Thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Y'all
you're
take
welcome.
Care. Have a good day. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management, Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by State Farm Agent Ralph Dickerson, 581-0000. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.